T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show. Although I will say to you right at the beginning, there is nothing good about this morning. This is a morning of utter, complete frustration for every Eagle fan. We have finally answered the question of whether the year after the Super Bowl, everything would seem easy and no matter what happened, we feel great. Because if I felt any worse right now, I'd be on suicide watch. That was one of the most outrageous and appalling collapses by any team in Philadelphia in recent memory. It was beyond awful. And the next 4 hours, I would think, will be 4 hours of you pouring out your anger about what you watched yesterday. That's what I see. Keith Jones is here. Keith Jones is by nature a brilliant broadcaster, but not a headline writer.
No.
And let he came in, he walked in, he did not say hello, Al.
No.
The first words out of Jonesy's mouth were?
From underdogs to choking dogs.
Oh, that was his. Rhea, is that a beautiful headline? From underdogs to choking dogs.
Yes.
That's exactly what they did.
There's no other way to put it.
They choked. And let me be clear, although the initial focus of this show will be on the appalling work of one Jim Schwartz and the defense. Mm. All right? This was a loss they can all share because all aspects of that team broke down when they needed the most. Why that happened, I don't understand. You were there, Aaron. I was watching the fans. Yeah. They were completely into it. They knew they were the 12th man. They gave every opportunity to the defense to be able to get out of their funk. With huge, I mean, every time Carolina snapped the ball from 17-7, 17-6 on, those fans were there for them. And the team, oh my God, the stats on this game and what happened at the end.
Staggering.
Let me start with this. 201 offensive yards in the fourth quarter. 201 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well,
how is that possible?
It's not.
It is not possible.
We watch the impossible.
You would almost need to remove the defense from the field entirely.
Play against air.
And see if maybe air could stop them.
Yeah. No, we can't double move air.
How? And here's the thing you're going to hear today. If you hear it from Doug Peterson at 8 o'clock, or if you hear it from any players today, or Jim Schwartz, whenever he crawls out of the hole he dug himself in, all right?
Tuesday.
If you hear that they did not change their approach in the fourth quarter, you are hearing a blatant lie. Because the people who would know that first would be the receivers on the other team who said to a man, the Eagles changed the way they defended them in the fourth quarter. They went into a prevent defense. And guess what that prevents, Jonesy? Yeah,
prevents you from winning.
That's exactly what it did.
Yeah, it was
brutal. All right, let me just start with this, because if you were listening afterwards, the torture and ordeal of this loss did not end when the game was over. You heard an incredibly asinine remark by the head coach who claimed that now the pressure's off the team. And we will grill him on that at 8 o'clock, too. That was beyond ignorant. That was a stupid comment.
No, they can just go have fun. That's nice.
I waited the whole time to hear one comment that resonated with me and the fans of this city, and I got it from Fletcher Cox, who, as usual, played a great game. Here's Fletcher.
You've experienced some tough losses in your career. Where does this one sit?
Number one.
Why? The worst loss you've ever
had? Worst loss I've ever had.
And why is that?
It was up, 17-0 or something at some point, and they came back and kicked our ass.
Worst loss of Fletcher Cox's career. And it should be for most of the players on that field.
Yeah, it would have to be, I would think.
I mean, Jonesy, can you explain domination for three quarters defensively and then a complete collapse? Can you explain it?
I can in one way.
Yeah.
The Eagles stopped playing. The Eagles stopped running the ball. The Eagles allowed them back in the game against a quarterback that quits more than any other quarterback in the league. Cam Newton.
They had removed him from the game.
And that's
he
what
was
happens with him.
That,
and that's his career
they
story.
They brought him back into it,
they
right?
They did. They revived him.
He was going,
they
all right, we'll get him next week. We're done here. And then they said, no, here. Score some touchdowns. Feel better about yourself.
I can't think of a more unlikely scenario, especially right. with Cam Newton as a quarterback. But if you stop, if you do not run them into the ground, in the fourth quarter, you're giving them a life and an opportunity to come back. And if they don't miss the kick when they make it set when it's 17-6, if they don't miss the kick, that game's going to overtime.
They'll
that,
just take the field goal.
The missed kick cost the Eagles the game. Wow. And Carolina just kept coming.
Something tells me the Eagles would have choked in overtime.
They probably would have.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure they would have won that. But anyway, in an effort to give you how many plays it took for them to blow this game. We put together, when I had to play for you the first three quarters, because that was all 17-0, that had no relevance to the final score. They were up 17-0, and then the fourth quarter arrived, and the Eagles left. Mm-hmm. It's like they left the field. So these are all plays. If any one of these plays could have gone the other way, the Eagles would have won the game. These are all those plays. Listen to this.
And that brings us to the end of the third quarter with the score. The Eagles, 17. The Carolina Panthers, zip! Newton reverses the football and running with it is Samuel to the 5, and in for the touchdown goes Samuel. 14 yards for the first Carolina points. Wide open over the middle, completing the pass inside the 25 to Jarius Wright. And here come the Panthers, a 30-yard pickup. This thing is not over yet. He is firing for the end zone, wide open, Bunches touchdown. Bunches wide open, beat Ronald Darby. And suddenly, the game is on. Looking, throwing, complete. 2 points to Jarius Wright. And we have a one field goal game. Now, it is up for Carson Wentz and company to get things moving. He's looking, still looking, floating it, and it is incomplete. Eagles could not pick up a first down. 4th and 10, Newton drops, he steps up. He is hit as he fires the football and completes it for a first down. All the way down to the 33-yard line goes former Eagle Torrey Smith. It is 3rd and 2. Back, looking, fires, complete. McCaffrey all the way down to the 5-yard line. He is looking. He is floating it. Touchdown. Greg Olsen. And the Eagles trail by 4. Wentz back, looking, looking, pumping, firing, and it is incomplete.
And really not the play. He had a simple flat route to Smallwood.
He's looking. He is hit. The football comes loose. Scramble for the ball. And it is recovered by Carolina, and the game is over.
I think sometimes we try to press just a little bit.
There is no minimizing the pain of this defeat.
Players, coaches just put added pressure when they don't have to.
We're going to leave the stadium absolutely sick to our stomach.
Pressure's off of us. Nobody on the outside world has given us a chance to do much of anything, and pressure's off.
And I'm going to simplify this for the fans out there that are more casual along the way. The exact opposite of what he said is true, all right? The Eagles decided not to pressure the wide receivers. They decided not to pressure Cam Newton in the offense. And that's why they lost the game.
Yep. That's
Rhea,
it.
Rhea, any argument there?
I wasn't thrilled with the way the offense was playing the entire game.
All right, but let's get to them next.
Okay.
All right, I'm
going
to do them later
in
the
my opinion.
Let me. So you giving up 21 points in the fourth quarter, you're not going to blame the defense first.
Your offense sometimes has to clean up messes, and they're not capable of it.
I'm not ready to do that one.
Well,
I gotta go. Al, who do we blame first here?
I blame the defensive coordinator. I kind of blame Carolina for not. There's such a blueprint on how to beat this team.
Yes.
Yeah, they waited too
they
long to do it.
I'm like, they were lucky that Carolina keeps throwing these. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're in the fourth quarter, and you know your weakness.
Yeah,
and you play a defense that says, "Come on."
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They went, here, take us.
Well,
Beat us. We're not going to play anymore today. See if you can score 21
I'm
points.
I'm expecting them to yell, double move, double not, move.
Oh, double move. Now, you'll notice on that sequence, that montage we just played for you, all three touchdowns were completely unmolested.
Yeah.
There was no one near anybody that scored. Even the trick play where the guy went right up the middle and scored. No one was near him.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
The two touchdown passes. No one was near the guy.
The trick play they had used on him before in the game.
Ronald Darby bit on the second touchdown. I don't even know that there was a move. He just bit on a non-move, and the guy's all out of the end zone. And then here's the next thing about it. This is what amazed me. Let's go back to the 4th and 10 play, because they could have won the game right there.
Yeah. Should have.
And they got a rush. It was one of the very few times in the entire fourth quarter they got any rush on Cam Newton. But apparently, Torrey Smith. Yeah, he played here. Yeah. Torrey Smith never gets open. You understand? That's why he's not back this year. He never got open. He never got open, and he dropped the ball. And Torrey Smith on this play is so wide open. There's nobody. See, when Cam Newton's getting hit, Jonesy, he's just going to throw it up and hope.
Yeah, exactly.
And he throws it in the direction of Torrey Smith, and Torrey Smith could have had a fair catch. There was nobody near him. Yep. Listen to this play again.
Newton drops. He steps up. He is hit as he fires the football and completes it for a first down. Running with the football across the 50, across the 40, all the way down to the 33-yard line goes former Eagle Torrey Smith. I don't know how Newton got away.
All right, let me try to explain to you. Newton got away because Newton's Newton. He's really good, all right? But Jalen Mills, can you imagine you heard that voice, that name? Jalen Mills? Apparently, and this is why I have to specify this, because he so often does not cover the guy, and there's no excuse. But apparently he slipped.
Yeah, again. How many times has he slipped? Yeah.
How many times?
Honestly, it's a slip's not an excuse.
How many times do you have to slip?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Isn't it unbelievable how many times he slips? So this brings you to the question now, what does Schwartz have to say? Jim Schwartz, after an epic collapse of that nature, needs to say something, doesn't he?
Yes, Tuesday.
He does. Tuesday.
On his, as his spokesman, Malcolm Jenkins, said this.
What was Jim's message, Schwartz, to defense after the game?
Jim didn't talk to defense after the game.
Jim doesn't talk after the game.
I enjoyed the chuckle there, too.
Jim doesn't talk after the game to his own players.
Mm-hmm.
Al, too soon to say Jim stinks and maybe we should get rid of him? Too soon?
You can take the defensive backs coach
with him. I'll be honest
with
you. Al, during that game, in that fourth quarter, I wanted to fire him on the sideline because I've seen him do this. He did it in Tennessee. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
They can't fire him in midseason after a Super Bowl. But he did also stink in the Super Bowl, in case you forgot.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz is in my crosshairs. There's a lot of people to blame. But there's my first guy, Jim Schwartz. Yeah. Jonesy, well, Jim Schwartz.
I think there's a reason he's still here.
It's so bad.
Most went to coach other teams, didn't they, after they win a Super Bowl? He's still here.
When we get to the offense later in the hour, I'll let you hear something from Ray Didinger. Now, Ray Didinger was very puzzled by the play calling after the Eagles went up 17-0 because it was beyond insane.
I mean, come
on. And believe me, I will press Doug Peters. We counted. There were three different stats going around. Ray Didinger said the last 14 plays, 12 were passes. Yeah. All right? Before the final drive. Ruben Freck said 13 passes, one run. And we went through the whole thing. What do we have? 15-0.
15-0 before the final drive.
And then they finally ran the ball for 8 yards and then never ran it again. So there were so many things to be frustrated. But I want to start. The postgame show is great. It always is after a loss, Al. Because all three of those guys, Didinger was crazed. Joyner, Al, you're not going to believe this.
He was mad.
He was bitter. Seth Joyner was bitter. And then there was Brandon Brooks, who usually doesn't get upset. Mm-hmm. Listen to him.
I just feel disgusted right now. I just can't believe in one quarter you allow a team to score 17 points. This disgusts me. I mean, we're talking about a team that's supposed to be freshly ready to come out and play every single play. But to turn around and just let this happen at the fourth quarter, this is, yeah.
Yeah. That's the yeah. That's all you got to say at that point. Yeah. So I'm going to just open this up and you can all vent. I am so out. I wonder, after Super Bowl, I'm going to be a little more blasé.
No. Mm-hmm.
Jonesy, this was a 1 o'clock game. The whole night, while sleeping, plays were running through my head.
That's what happens.
And I was going, how the hell did they let this game go?
Was I blasé after the game?
I got a story about Rhea coming up in this hour. In fact, we come back. Rhea Hughes almost closed down a pizzeria yesterday with her language. And I was impressed.
I didn't do it on purpose, Al.
My own dog was appalled by what he heard coming out of my car speaker from the personage of Rhea Hughes.
Someone was flipping mozzarella on that, Mario.
Does your
Rhea
dog listen?
Rhea Hughes was announcing to a pizza place how she felt about the loss. She was unaware she was doing that.
I thought it was Rhea unplugged.
It was amazing. Anyway, I just want to hear you. If there was one day I wish we were satellite radio, it would be today. So you can express yourself with profanity. But you can't.
Okay, no.
FCC doesn't allow it.
No.
So take the profanities out and let it fly. Doug Peterson will be out at 8 o'clock, and we'll hear what he has to say. It better be better than it was yesterday after the game. We got Ray Dittinger at 7. Ray will still be perplexed. Ruben Frank at 9, because Ruben's got numbers that will blow your mind on how the Eagles blew that game. 888-729-9494, WIP Sports Time, 650.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.